we appreciate it. Kane, 807 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew there at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll do work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you have some junk you need them to pick up, maybe you don't know where to take that junk, or if you can't physically move it, if it's a lot of junk, or if it's junk you don't know what you're supposed to do with. Maybe an old tube TV or an old computer, and you're not sure if it's the right thing to do to just throw it in the dumpster. Well, you don't have to worry about it. Just call Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll take care of it. Let's say you're an amateur bowler. Maybe you're really good, and the wife said, hey, I need you to get rid of all those bowling balls. Your days of bowling are over. Well, even if that's the issue here, they'll come by and they'll pick up all your bowling balls. They'll take care of anything. They really will. And one of the best things about using Trey and the crew, you make your appointment, they show up exactly at the time you're expecting them. They don't give you one of those 4 or 6 hour windows when they just might show up. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment time. They'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. And the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. Everybody I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK have nothing but glowing reviews for the company, including just about everybody here at FM Talk 106.5. So one more time, to get a quote, go ahead and set up an appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. 808 now, and it is a Tuesday, actually the last day of July. It's time to talk to Quinn Hillier. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, y'all. Hope you're doing okay.
Good morning, Quinn.
And before we get into this conversation about the impeachment articles against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, I want to let everybody know that they can pick up your trilogy of books, the Mad Jones trilogy, now available on Amazon. And where else, Quinn?
Right now, just at Amazon.com. It's Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, and Mad Jones Agonistes, and it's a fun read.
Yeah, congratulations on that. It's no easy feat to write one book, much less three. So great job on that, Quinn.
Thank you.
Today, you texted me. We want to talk a little bit about Rod Rosenstein. It's kind of a story that's been buried with all the national and state news here in Alabama. Just like every story that seems to come out surrounding this administration, there's just something new every single day. But last Wednesday, 11 Republicans, including Representative Jim Jordan out of Ohio and Mark Meadows out of North Carolina, it seems like they're leading the charge, but last Wednesday filed articles of impeachment against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. They accused him of withholding information from Congress regarding Special Counsel Robert Mueller's ongoing Russia investigation. So break this down for us, Quinn. What exactly are they accusing Rod Rosenstein of?
Well, what they're basically accusing him of is not actually entirely clear, but because the articles of impeachment that they drew up for their resolution was almost indecipherable. It was even the Heritage Foundation, which is a very pro-Trump organization. The Heritage Foundation legal analyst looked at it and said it was just absolute nonsense. But basically, what they're charging him with is contempt of Congress for not handing over all the documents, or for withholding for redacting too much within the documents at a fast enough clip for their tastes. Now, if they're accusing him of basically of contempt of Congress, then the problem is they need to actually first accuse him of contempt of Congress, which is a separate charge. You don't get to something like impeachment until you've gone through the intermediate steps of actually charging him with something that is a penalizable crime, which is contempt of Congress. But they're just skipping over that, even though that's basically what they're charging him with, and saying they're going to start impeachment proceedings, which is, again, it's utter sheer nonsense. Anybody that understands, A, the seriousness of impeachment, and B, the uses of impeachment, knows that impeachment is not something that you use to remove inferior officers. He's not even a cabinet member for something that is basically a jurisdictional dispute, and that's what this is.
So what reason would Rosenstein have to withhold any information, and do you think he is withholding any information from Congress?
He says he's not. He says that he has a team of well over 100 lawyers, who, by the way, could be much better spent doing other stuff, going through documents and millions and millions of pages, by the way, of documents. Oh, excuse me, not millions, hundreds of thousands of pages, and getting them to Congress as fast as he can. He has already turned over tens of thousands of pages of documents. But he says with stuff of this nature, you do need to go make sure that there's nothing classified within them, and you need to decide what it should be and should not be redacted, meaning blacked out on the page because it's classified. That takes time. And he says that the Justice Department is working as fast as it can. Maybe it's dragging its feet a little. I don't know. If the president wants, he can solve the problem for Congress by declassifying anything in those documents so they won't have to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and figure out what to redact. They can just hand them all over. But right now, the president hasn't declassified it, which means there must be some good reason for the Justice Department to be careful about what they turn over.
So if this continues to escalate, what will it take for him to actually be impeached? Is it two-thirds Senate vote? Is that?
Yeah, well, no. That's a conviction or removal from office. First, they would have to get a majority of the House to impeach, and then you would need a two-thirds vote in the Senate to convict or remove. They're not even going to get, one quarter of the House to impeach, because this is such a ludicrous idea. But the reason I want to talk about it is, A, it did get a lot of attention toward the end of last week. And then, of course, Paul Ryan said, we're not going there. Heritage Foundation, which usually is on the side of Jim Jordan, said this is absurd. But yesterday, Jim Jordan, who, for whatever reason, is running for Speaker of the House, he was quoted as saying, well, no, he doesn't regret bringing this impeachment resolution forward, even after it has been shown to be utterly ludicrous. And he still wants to push it. Well, if he still wants to push it, the public needs to understand that impeachment is a last resort. It's not a first shot. And these guys are using it as some sort of political leverage to score political points, rather than taking it seriously as an actual, process of government that is very, very serious. And they're not treating it like that, and it's frankly embarrassing for them.
Is that what you think their main motive is, to score political points here, or do you think there might be some other motives, or do you think they really truly feel like he needs to be impeached, and they feel like he's kind of messing with them by keeping stuff from the Republicans?
I think some of them, feel that he's keeping stuff from them, that he should be able to turn over hundreds of thousands of pages in 2 days, and they're mad at him, and they're mad at and they're mad at the whole thing. But unless they're really, really dumb, they got to understand that it's not going anywhere. And one of the people that's not in the 11, one of my favorite congressmen, but he really disappointed me with this, is Majority Whip Steve Scalise, who I've known since 1989. He came out the day after the impeachment thing came up, and he said, well, if it comes to a vote, I'll vote for it. But then, in the next breath, he said, because, of course, what this does is it gives us leverage. So he was even acknowledging, he's not one of the 11 that signed it, but he said he'd vote for it. As a member of the leadership, he specifically said that, he's using it for leverage so that they can, so they can bend Rosenstein to their will or something like that. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. You don't use something like impeachment for leverage. Mm-hmm. You use that for something where you're actually trying to convict and remove somebody from office.
Yeah, and that's really saying something, because all the years I've known you, Quinn, you've never had anything but glowing things to say about Steve Scalise.
Oh, I'm crazy about Steve Scalise. I think he's I think he's playing some internal House politics there that doesn't make me happy. And again, he didn't sign the impeachment resolution itself. He just said, well, if it came to a vote, he'd vote for it. But even that is wrongheaded. You don't impeach somebody for something like this, especially when there's an intermediate step, again, of trying to charge somebody with contempt of Congress and taking a vote on contempt, which means that you then go through the court system to enforce it, which is how it should be.
I read something along the lines of that President Trump may be able to use this and go ahead and fire Rosenstein just from these allegations. Is that a possibility?
Well, yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, Trump can fire Rosenstein anytime that he wants. But then again, Trump can also declassify all of these documents anytime he wants. So it would make no sense on this issue. Now, you know, he might want to fire Rosenstein for something else, but it would make no sense on this issue for him to fire Rosenstein for not doing something that Trump himself can do.
And one more on this topic before we move on really quickly. Jeff Sessions, he spoke about this on Thursday after they filed those articles on Wednesday. He said he had the highest confidence in Rosenstein, and he said, my deputy Rod Rosenstein is highly capable. I have the highest confidence in him. How does Sessions work into this? Is this actually another dig at Sessions by going after his deputy?
No. The House members are not really going after Sessions, but Sessions, because he has recused himself from this, is not directly involved in the crossfire, which makes him a pretty good judge of what is and isn't happening, because he doesn't have any skin in the game. He's just saying his opinion is the chief law enforcement officer of the land, and you know, we in Alabama know and love Jeff Sessions, at least most of us do, and he's got good judgment. And when he comes out and says that this impeachment, I mean, he didn't in so many words say that the impeachment move is ludicrous, but for him to go out of his way to say that he backs Rod Rosenstein, that should put an end to it. It absolutely should. Jeff Sessions is a good man. He knows the law. He's got no dog in the hunt. So, you know, so people should pay attention and work through the normal, correct processes rather than jump the gun with you know, basically they're going from the top gun to the bazooka without, you know, without taking out even you know, a shotgun as an intermediate thing.
And before we let you go, Quinn, I want to talk to you about the Kavanaugh confirmation process that's currently ongoing. Doug Jones in the news this week, he finally discussed whether he'll be a yay or a nay on the Kavanaugh confirmation. He said he's keeping an open mind right now on Kavanaugh, but one thing he said is he's concerned about getting documents from the White House from Kavanaugh's time there. I think, was it like a million pages of Kavanaugh's previous writings that the Democrats say they want to parse through? Seems like just kind of a way to extend this.
And let's make this clear. This is what Doug Jones is saying is ludicrous. The White House, Kavanaugh had two jobs at the White House. First, he was in a position in the counsel's office where he actually was opining on things of substance. And they are turning over those documents. His next job, which in some ways was more important, but in other ways was less personal, was he was staff secretary. He was basically the document traffic cop. And as the document traffic cop, all he was doing was being the honest broker, making sure that all the documents flowed in the right direction. To say that they should turn over every document that crossed his desk, even though he didn't write it, that's absolute, total, sheer nonsense. But that's what Doug Jones and the Democrats are asking, and they know it's nonsense, because when Elena Kagan, Obama's nominee, was put up, they didn't even allow her work as Solicitor General, that paper, to be looked at, and that was legal stuff with her own opinions. In this case, these aren't even memos that Kavanaugh wrote. These are just memos that crossed his desk. You don't need to see all that stuff. They're just trying to delay for the sake of delay, mm-hmm. to score political points, and it's beneath contempt.
Well, if you don't mind taking a crack at it, how do you forecast this confirmation going? Do you think they'll get the vote in before midterms? How do you see the vote going, and what do you think Doug Jones will do?
Well, A, they'll definitely get the vote in before midterms. B, now that Rand Paul yesterday came out in favor of Kavanaugh, I think that makes it a lot easier, a lot more certain that Kavanaugh will be confirmed. What Doug Jones does, I don't know. If Doug Jones does what his constituents want, and polls show 55 to 30% Alabamans want Kavanaugh confirmed, if Doug Jones does what his voters want him to do, he will vote to confirm. If he wants to play to Chuck Schumer and the liberal National Democrats, he'll vote against, and it will be a mark against him for re-election.
Hey, good stuff, Quinn. We appreciate having you on this Tuesday morning. If folks want to get in touch with you on social media or on your website, how can they do that?
QuinnHillier.com gets updated about once a week. And if you want to follow me at Twitter, at Quinn Hillier.
All right. And don't forget the Mad Jones trilogy on Amazon. You got Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, Mad Jones Agonistes in that order, all written by Quinn Hillier. And they can be at your door in 2 days on Amazon. Thanks, Quinn.
Thanks.
All right. 823 now on FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile Mornings on the way. FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley in with you on this last day of July. Hey, but you've got 1 month now. If you head on down to the original Oyster House, either location on the Causeway or in Gulf Shores at the foot of 59. And what you want to do is you want to take a photo of the sunset, because they're having the OOH Sunset Contest through August the 31st. The last time you can get your, contest submission in is 8 o'clock. To enter, participants must be 18 years or older. You can visit either original Oyster House location during sunset. And while there, go ahead and take a photo of the sunset inside or outside the restaurant, whichever one looks better according to your artistic view as a photographer. And then go ahead and post it on Facebook.com/OriginalOysterHouse, and make sure you include the hashtag OOH sunset. Once you do that, Original Oyster House will select, after August 31st, they'll select the winner. They say that Facebook likes of your post and or the creativity of your sunset picture can improve your chances of winning. They even say here you can campaign for likes by tagging, after you post to the Facebook page, you go ahead and tag and share with your friends. But make sure you keep those campaign signs out of the roadway, please. It's not that big a deal. You have a good chance to win. But that's the Original Oyster House, either location, on the Causeway or at the foot of 59. And I guess I realized that the Original Oyster House had a great view when I showed up there on the Causeway my second or third time going to the Original Oyster House, and I saw simultaneously wedding photos and prom photos being taken at the same time outside of the restaurant. That's how you know they have a good view, and I could just see it with my eyes. I mean, beautiful view outside, at least on the Causeway and foot of 59. 829 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Hey, coming back, I'm going to have a story for you, maybe the craziest story of the month of July, and just in time. I don't know if you saw this, but this three people in San Antonio at this, what do you call it? They had a petting pool. It was in an aquarium in San Antonio, and these three people steal a shark out of this petting pool. Couldn't have been a dangerous shark if they had it in a petting pool. They stole it, wrapped it up like a baby, and made away with the shark.
Did they lose any fingers or toes?
They did not. Actually, we don't know, because they have not caught all of the suspects
they
yet.
They deserve to. Yeah. You don't go in someone's house and snatch them out of it.
No. And you better make sure you have a saltwater tank ready for him, because they said he could die if they didn't have him in a saltwater tank by two. I'll have the full details, because
okay.
It's an insane story. Coming back on the other side of the break, this is FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll also talk about the Manafort trial and Jeff Sessions creating a religious liberty task force. All that on the way on FM Talk 106.5.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of find happiness, you can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one, doctor, everything will be alright.
At 8:38 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Wondering why I'm playing this, Kelly?
I'm singing right along.
One of my favorite songs of all time. Oh, yeah.
Do you know I just saw Purple Rain like a year ago?
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I saw that when I was six.
That's
probably
not,
shouldn't have. But
ooh, you're gonna get
I covered my eyes during the bad parts.
Uh-huh. How do you know it was the bad part?
I was told. I did have a responsible adult nearby who they made it sanitized. They made it a VH1 version for me, even though it wasn't the VH1 version.
Oh,
let's just say
that. Oh, no, let's go.
Okay, so
I'm
playing Let's Go Crazy because of the most recent tweet from our President Donald Trump, where he's, and I'm not calling him crazy, it's in the tweet. He says, the fake news media is going crazy, all caps, crazy, C-R-A-Z-Y. They are totally unhinged, and in many ways, after witnessing firsthand the damage they do to so many innocent and decent people, I enjoy watching. In 7 years, when I am no longer in office, their ratings will dry up and they will be gone. So the back and forth between Trump and the media continues. He's tweeting this morning about the media once again. But in reality, I just wanted to play that song. That's the honest truth.
Well, and no one should be surprised because, as we know this morning, Paul Manafort was headed into a federal courtroom. So that aligns.
Let's talk a little bit about what Paul Manafort is facing beginning today as his trial starts. He's in Virginia for this trial. The charges that he's facing, let's go through those really quickly first. Yeah. He's facing 18 counts, and he's in Alexandria, Virginia at the U.S. District Court. Five of those counts are for filing false income tax returns, four counts of failing to report foreign bank accounts, five counts of bank fraud conspiracy, and four counts of bank fraud. Also faces seven charges in the D.C. federal court in connection with his work in the Ukraine, conspiracy against the United States, conspiracy to launder money, failure to register as a foreign agent, making false statements about working as a foreign agent, false statements, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy to obstruct justice. Man, those are a lot of charges that he's facing. Mm-hmm. He's accused of failing to pay taxes on millions of dollars that he made when he was doing work, or allegedly doing work, for a pro-Russian political party in the Ukraine between 2006 and 2015. They're saying that he did not pay the taxes because he had the money wired to foreign shell corporations who then sent him that money as loans.
Yeah, and prosecutors have 35 witnesses and more than 500 pieces of evidence that they will show as to how Manafort earned more than $60 million from his Ukrainian work and then concealed a, quote, significant percentage of that money from the IRS. They're also arguing that he fraudulently obtained millions more in bank loans, including during his time on the campaign trail.
And I think a lot of people, at least a lot of never-Trumpers or anti-Trumpers, think that this will lead to Trump being kicked out of office eventually because Manafort was his campaign manager for about 6 months. But that doesn't seem to be what they're focusing on. They're focusing on all those other charges that have to deal with him working in Ukraine and then using those shell corporations to give him loans that he didn't have to pay off. And did you see all the expensive stuff that he bought? I mean, I remember
suits.
When they, the suits, the clothing, some of those, the rugs,
the lawn care.
Just crazy.
Yeah. But those are two totally separate conversations. This is a Paul Manafort situation involving him.
Yeah.
And the money he said he had, the money he said he didn't have, and, you know, like you mentioned, all the charges. That's the concentration here. That's it.
Yeah, he could be facing, let's see, how long he could go to prison if he is found guilty on all charges, which that would take, a heck of a prosecutor to do that because that's a lot of charges. But he could face a long time in prison. The bank fraud charges alone carry a maximum sentence of 270 years. The false tax return charges, maximum of 15 years. And then the failure to report foreign bank accounts, 20 years. But the sentencing guidelines call for about 4 to 5 years on the bank fraud and 8 to 10 years for the tax offenses. So if he is found guilty for most of these things, probably around 15 to 20 years in jail for Paul Manafort. As far as how this fits in with the Russian collusion allegations and that investigation under Mueller, because he was Trump's campaign chairman for several months, he was the campaign manager when that Trump Tower meeting came along with Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner meeting with that Russian attorney because they thought that there was some bad information on Hillary Clinton out there. Mm-hmm. He was also, Manafort was included on emails with foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos saying that he tried to arrange a meeting between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. But Manafort doesn't appear like he's going to flip on Trump, or if like there would even be reason for him to flip on Trump like so many expected him to do. But that's not going to be raised during this Virginia trial for Paul Manafort. So Russian collusion will not be discussed. This one member of the special counsel team said, I don't anticipate the word Russia will be uttered by a government witness. So this is all about Manafort and that bank fraud and all those other charges that he's facing. And that all begins today in Alexandria, Virginia. So keep an eye on that. And I'm sure that Laura Ingram will talk about that a little bit more coming up at 9 o'clock until noon. Now, the story I've been waiting about 2 hours and 45 minutes to get to, the biggest story, the biggest story in July. So this comes from KSAT TV out of San Antonio, where they say Leon Valley police say that a well-trained trio took Shark Week just a little too far. Was Shark Week over? I think. Yeah. Shark Week was last week. And that's when this trio stole a horn shark from the San Antonio Aquarium on Saturday. Chief Joseph Salvaggio, he's the Leon Valley Police Chief, he said the group stole the shark from an open pool where visitors were allowed to reach in and pet the species in the tank. I guess a petting pool, or as a texter here says, a touch tank. I think that's the real word for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they reached into this touch tank. Salvaggio said one of the men grabbed the shark by its tail while his accomplices wrapped it in a wet blanket. They walked.
Be pretty bold to do that because sharks have quite a bit of teeth.
Yeah, but I guess if it's, right. And I don't know specifically about these horn sharks,
uh-huh,
how non-dangerous they are, but if they were in this touch tank, I would imagine that they're not that dangerous of a shark. So think of a little cute shark that kitties would like to go up and pet.
I see teeth.
And this guy, oh, okay.
You know what
if
I mean?
There's teeth, you're nowhere near around.
Well, that means it's used to bite.
Good point. That is what teeth are for,
right.
I guess. So, but this guy, not scared. And uh-huh, I'm picturing like a children's movie where, you know, the bad guys, they're always doing something. But it's not like the bank fraud, like Manafort or anything like that. They are doing things like the big shark heist. We're going to reach into the shark tank and steal this 2-3-foot shark and make away with it. So the guy grabbed the shark by the tail. His two accomplices wrapped it up with a blanket. They walked into a back room, put the shark in a bucket, and then put the bucket in a stroller. They were trying to pass the shark off like it was a baby they were walking around with. And I guess it worked because it took 45 minutes for the aquarium to realize that they had stolen this shark. The police chief said when they went back into that back room after they pulled it out of the pool, uh-huh, wrapped it in a blanket, they put it in a bucket that had a bleach solution. And they're worried that bleach solution might have shocked the shark's system. And then they have surveillance video of the three people with the bucket,
mm-hmm,
in the stroller walking off with it. You got two men and a woman in this picture.
Guess what?
What's that?
6 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what came out?
What's that?
Young horn shark stolen from Texas aquarium is safely returned.
Wow. That's good news. See, mm-hmm, I told you I've been sitting on this story for 2.5 hours.
Yep.
Had no idea that they returned it.
Yep.
They were really worried that it was going to die because said that within 1 to 2 hours, it needs to be in a saltwater aquarium.
Mm-hmm. And the it's a female horn shark, and her name is Miss Helen. She's a 16-inch long horn shark, and she was returned safely Monday night. Stolen over the weekend. So you actually have been sitting on the story for a little bit longer.
Mm, just a little bit. But it was that interesting of a story because they wrapped it up, made it look like a baby, and made way with it.
But look how foolish they are. So a man posted a picture online, and it included a caption that said, "Selling a horn shark, perfect for the next shark week, alive and well, just took out of tank for a quick pick." And he was selling it for $300.
And that was this horn shark? Oh, what are you thinking? That is a dumb criminal.
And two people have confessed to stealing the shark.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that that's all under wraps now.
Miss Helen.
Miss Helen is back in her tank safely, because things could have gone really badly for Miss Helen. Putting her in that bleach solution.
Right.
And then making out of the aquarium with her. They were worried they wouldn't get her in a tank. But obviously, these people had ulterior motives. They were going to sell Miss Helen.
And she is less than 1 year old. They say that she is a, quote, little fighter, a survivor. And she's back in her rightful home.
Hey, good news. But doesn't that sound like a children's movie heist? Yeah. Like the kid has to stop this trio from stealing a shark out of the petting pool? Crazy. People are crazy. I'm glad to hear Miss Helen's safe, though. Right. That's all that really matters. 848 on FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll wrap things up just in time for the Laurie Ingram Show to begin at 9. And then Midday Mobile at noon. Jonathan McConnell taking over. Coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Now on FM Talk 106.5, this is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Kelly Finley in here as well. Sean Sullivan will be back soon. Today on the Midday Show, Jonathan McConnell will be hosting. It looks to be a great Midday Show. I'm looking forward to that. Also, Laurie Ingram coming up at 9 o'clock. A couple of the stories I wanted to get to here before we end the show. Did you see this news on Attorney General Jeff Sessions? Yesterday, he announced the creation of a religious liberty task force within the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. It's meant to aid in the implementation of a memo that he signed last October, guiding how the department litigates such issues. At the department's Religious Liberty Summit yesterday, Sessions said, "The Constitution's protections don't end at the parish parking lot, nor can our freedoms be confined to our basements." He pointed to the cases of Little Sisters of the Poor and the Masterpiece Cake Shop case as examples of government failure to protect religious liberty. While he was speaking, he said, "I can assure you that people in Washington have no idea the extent to which our religious community is with the American people in times of birth, death, marriage, divorce, and those kinds of situations that are so impactful to human beings." He said, "I believe we need to respect that and affirm it wherever possible." Also, this is another one of my favorite stories I've seen lately. Have you seen this Natty Light, Natural Light? You know, the beer, Natural Light.
Oh, I was thinking. That's not what I was thinking.
Okay, well, the beer choice of college students everywhere that are over 21, course.
You know, I was just about to say.
So juniors and seniors in college, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Well, they have this new marketing stunt out there right now, and I can really get behind this. I think it's genius. I think it's outside the box, and I love it. So Natty Light holding a contest where anyone can submit their resume, and if Natural Light picks you as the winner, they'll paint your resume on the side of Chris Buescher. So he's the number 37 car in NASCAR.
Okay.
They'll paint your resume on the side of his car that will run in the South Point 400 in September. So
that's a big deal.
Yeah, if you're like looking for a job and you want to get your resume to as many people as possible, and if you enter in this Natty Light contest, you enter by emailing your resume to nattyraceresume@naturallight.com. And if you end up winning, they'll put that resume on the side of Chris Buescher's car in September. I mean, that's insane, right? That's what a crazy marketing plan. I think that's really smart out of Natural Light, and that's a business that has to keep their names. Actually, I was going to say they have to keep their names in the headlines because they don't have the advantage that some of these other companies have, but that's not true. They are the college beer drink of choice, as far as I know, as far as I can tell. And one more story I wanted to get to here. You see, the oldest person in the world passed away on Sunday.
No, which, how was it? Wait, was it a woman?
It was a woman. Miyako Shio. Uh-huh. And she died Sunday at the age of 117. She was born on May 22nd, 1901. She was the oldest living woman in Japan. Actually, so she's been the oldest person in Japan since 2015. And she was the oldest person in the world. Okay, so that title turns over a lot, believe it or not. She was the oldest person in the world, died Sunday at the age of 117. And I guess this was 1 month after the Guinness World Records recognized her as the oldest person alive. So she got the title, then she passed away on Sunday. But 117, that's crazy.
And you think about how many presidents she's, you know, seen during her day, how many, I mean, friends and family have come and gone, unfortunately, how many grandchildren. It's always so very interesting to me.
I mean, you could fit a lot of life in 117 years. And I think that title, the number is just going to keep rising with all the technological advancements, all the advancements in medicine that we have. 117. And I think in about 30 years, we'll have like a 130-year-old or something like that. It'll just keep going up there.
You never doggone know, which is a blessing. I wish hopefully somebody videotaped her and got her thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
She might be one of those people that, I drink a fifth of whiskey every day. That's what I do to stay young. 8:57 now. And speaking of, you know, living as old as possible, you hold on. Well, I was going to say, you
fix that, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, the car you're in right now, you would want to live till at least 120, so you can just keep hopping in these new Mazdas as fast as they can produce them.
Man,
right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like your segue. Very nice. You're not calling me old.
No.
You know what, though? So I've talked to you about how this vehicle, this is the 2018 Mazda CX-9 Touring, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday we went to the movies, and it was the kids and their friends and my girlfriend. So seven of us are in the vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried to tell you. And they're long. I mean, I'm the shortest one.
Yeah, you got some volleyball players, some basketball players.
Yeah,
I mean,
two cheerleaders.
Need that leg room.
Right. And so I said, you guys, let's test this. Let's really, really test this. So I've posted the picture. It's coming through on Twitter, at KellyK2KFinley. But a lot of times you're visual. So you're like, okay, let me see this vehicle. Let me see what you're talking about. This really brings you into the mix of fun. And a vehicle of this size, it also can go into sport mode, and that's not something you think about with a vehicle like this. Horsepower, 250 horsepower for this bad boy. I've named him Clifford because he is big, he is red, and he's beautiful. Three rows of seating, and we really tested the cup holder concept because we went to the movies yesterday, and when we came back, they still had leftovers.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had a console. Everybody had a cup holder.
Nice.
Yes, the second row reclines back. You've got your push-button start. It's fantastic. So more information, if you'd like to go to MazdaUSA.com or go visit our friends at the all-new D McQuarrie located on the East Service Road of I-65.
All right. That does it for us on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow, 6 o'clock, same place. Same time.
Look at that picture.
Ooh.